Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to declare the meeting open at 9:34, and I'd like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet this morning. I'd also like to pay that respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who may be here this morning. Just a quick rundown for those in the public gallery about public conduct at a meeting, and it's part of our standing orders, section 32, as to how we deal with public conduct. All members of the public present must, not without prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with the person present, be suitably dressed and turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls should that be required. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements that I may, with or without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for a period that could be determined by me as chairman. And that period may actually include future meetings. On to the next item, councillors. Leave of absence. I don't believe we have any leaves of absence, so we'll move on to devotional segment. It's my great pleasure to ask our member of the Redlands Ministers Fellowship, Mark Westhuizen, from Cleveland Baptist Church, to lead us in a brief devotional segment.
Great. Thank you. Beautiful. I don't know what your worldview is when it comes to the things of God, but one of the questions I get asked all the time, especially by children, is who made God and what was God doing before he made us? We just had a kids program a couple of weeks ago, had 197 primary school kids. That question must have been asked, I don't know, 30 or 40 times. And so what was God doing before he made the heavens and the earth, if you have that worldview? Some people think he was sitting a bit like us here, three thrones in a row, nice and quiet, nice and orderly, very kind of strict and proper, just being static together. But the picture we have in Scripture, especially from Jesus, is about dynamism. Jesus says things like, I and the Father are one, and I'm in the Father and he's in me, and there's this living, moving relationship of Father, Son and Holy Spirit that goes back to the beginning of eternity. And theologians for thousands of years have grappled with a way to try and describe this loving community, this three-in-one nature of God. And the word they've come up with is perichoresis. Peri means around, like perimeter, and choresis, our word choreography, comes from that. And the picture is literally to dance around. And it's this dynamic, loving community where they outpour love and honour and goodness and grace, and there's a depth of intimacy. Probably the closest thing we can think of in our world would be the tango, you know, a couple dancing together in this intense relationship of movement and intimacy and dynamism, the perichoresis. And in a sense, what God does next is he says, this is so good, this community, this love, this pouring out on one another and being together, we should share the love. So why did God make mankind? Well, to increase the community. And in a sense, what God says to us is, do you want to dance? Do you want to step in to this loving community? Not that we become God, but we become part of the loving, gracious community. It says in the Bible that we are made in God's image, in his likeness. And this is part of what it means to be made in God's image. And again, theologians for thousands of years have asked the question, what does it mean, made in God's image? Kind of four views they come up with, four kind of ways to describe what it means to be made in God's image. One is what they call the substantive view, the sense in which we share some substance with God. Rationality, intellect, personality, creativity. We have some of God's attributes, we mirror them. Another view is the relational view, the idea that God created us in his image and we are the only part of this world, the only being, I guess, that can love and be loved. I mean, animals show care and concern, but that's a primal instinct rather than a decision of the will to love. Substantive view, relational view. Others say, no, it's a functional thing. We are created to reign and rule on God's behalf. And in a sense, you guys understand that better than anyone else, as you have been delegated authority in order to exercise governance over our city. And we're very grateful for the role that you do there. It's a functional role to rule. Others say, no, it's much more to do with the royal image. And they go back to ancient religions like the Egyptians, Mesopotamians, and they say the kings set themselves up, like Ra, the Egyptian god Ra. Pharaoh was his image, his representative, his statue on earth that showed the king, like he was the son of the gods, if you like. And when you put those together, you end up with a fuller picture of what it means to be made in God's image. It's more than just substantive, because someone in a coma, they can't do anything, is still made in the image of God. It's not about performance. Same goes for relationship or for exercising dominion. There's more to being made in God's image than simply the sum of the parts. There's this intangible mystery, this X factor. We are made in God's image. A couple of implications, just as I conclude, for you as counselors. First of all, you are made in the image of God, that you have some resemblance to God in your ability to make decisions. You are creative, rational, intelligent, interpersonal, relational people who can pour out love and goodness and seek the good of others instead of just yourself. You are made in the image of God, and that is a wonderful responsibility, privilege, and reality. But secondly, those that you serve, those in our city and those across the table here, are also made in the image of God. You see, without the Christian view that mankind is made in the image of God, you have no innate value for people. So whether it's euthanasia or abortion or racism or whatever kind of social thing where you say this life matters more than this life, without Christianity you don't have that sense of every life is valuable, every life is important, the sacredness and dignity of human life, whether that person is disabled or yet to be born or in a at the end of their life in a palliative situation. Everyone that you serve is made in the image of God and deserves your best effort. They deserve to be treated with dignity and respect, regardless of how crazy they drive you, right? Regardless of how foolish you think they are, regardless of how much they get under your skin or say things on social media about you or don't cooperate with you in what you're trying to do, every single person you serve has deep and intrinsic value and is worthy of your best time and energy. They're made in the image of God. Two. Can I come pray briefly? Just to close? Is that okay? Yeah. I'd love to pray for you this morning. Well, God, I thank you that you didn't just make us to reign and rule over, but you made us so we could know you and enjoy you, that we could be part of this beautiful, loving community. You invited us to dance. And Lord, for those here this morning, I pray that they would understand just the richness of what it means to be made in your image, that they have innate dignity and purpose and value, despite their performance, despite anything else. And God, I pray too that you would give them great compassion and a great desire to serve our city. Lord, I know they have that, and I thank you for that. But I pray that they would have that view of those that are the least of these, the marginalized, the difficult people, those that we tend not to think are of as much value, that they would love and care for them and serve them just as well, since they are made in the image of God too. Pray for the rest of this meeting. I pray that it would be a great time, that lots of good stuff would get done, and that there'd be a great spirit in the room. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for what you do for our city. We really appreciate it. We pray for you a lot, and we think you're great. Have a great day.
Next item on the agenda is recognition of achievement, and this morning I would just like to acknowledge three of our four recipients of the Queen's Honours Award. I will ask them to come forward shortly, but before I do that, I might just give the members in the gallery, the public gallery, an opportunity to understand the great contributions that these, we have four in Redlands, but three here present, have made over a long period of time and continue to do so. So as I said, I've had that pleasure, and we've just had a small morning tea to thank them personally. But these are four outstanding Redlanders, and I'd like to acknowledge Peter Beauchamp, Ross Bauer, Richard Thomason, and Susan Russell. And as I said, they've all been recognised nationally through the Queen's Honours, Queen's Birthday Honours Awards. My fellow councillors here and I are very, very proud of the contributions of Redlanders such as this quartet, who selflessly give their time to make the city and the greater community a much better place. As Mayor, it's been my privilege to recognise on behalf of the city so many exceptional people over the past 4 years, and in fact Council has been acknowledging these people for a lot longer than that. I have no doubt that Redlands punches well above its weight when it comes to their community service, our community service. So Peter, Ross, Richard and Susan are glowing examples of that, and we hope people will follow in their footsteps. They epitomise the great community spirit and sense of community that makes our city so special and that we are blessed with. So on behalf of all Redlanders, Council would like to acknowledge their achievements in being awarded the Medal of the Order of Australia and to show our appreciation and respect for their outstanding work. As I said, we're fortunate to have three of the four here this morning. Firstly, Peter William Beauchamp, OAM, was awarded his Medal of the Order of Australia in the General Division for his dedicated service to veterans and their families. Through his involvement with the Returned and Services League of Australia Queensland branch, he continues to make a lasting impact on the lives of many families in our region. Peter is a member of the RSL State Pensions and Welfare Committee, with his service including leading the Manly Bloated RSL sub-branch as president since 2013, as well as being a pensions and advocacy officer since 2007. He was also vice president and past secretary of the Wynnum sub-branch of the Return and Services League of Australia and pensions and advocacy officer from 1996 to 2005. It is service which also earned Peter the Australia Day Medallion. Now, Peter, if you'd just like to come forward while I acknowledge some of your colleagues, if you'd just come forward here and we'll organise for a little photo. I'd also like to acknowledge Ross James Bauer, OAM. Ross has earned his Medal of the Order of Australia in the General Division for his service to the Redlands Museum, where he was President from 2007 to 2014 and Collections Manager since 2014, as well as serving in other capacities. A member since 2005, he was keenly involved in the planning, promotion, development, construction and curation of the Australia Toy Hall of Fame exhibition in 2013. He is always keen to share his expertise and is a willing volunteer, which was also recognised with Volunteering Redlands 2014 Greg Cook Volunteer Recognition Award for his unwavering commitment, tireless dedication and outstanding leadership. Thank you, Ross, and if you'd like to come forward with your certificate. Mr Richard Thomason OAM, or we know him as Rick. Richard is known for his imaginative work with the Redland Museum and has been awarded his Medal of the Order of Australia in the General Division for Service to Community Museums. He has been Exhibitions Officer at the Museum since 2001 and was Secretary of the Management Committee from 1983 to 2002, as well as a long-time volunteer. Richard was also Chairman of the Association of Australian Decorative and Fine Arts Brisbane from 2012 to 2014 and a committee member since 1993. A member of the Redlands Creative Alliance, he also received a Redlands City Council Award in 2002. So, Rick, if I could ask you to come forward. And while we do that, I'll just acknowledge Susan Russell OAM in her absence. Unfortunately, she can't be with us today, and most of you probably know Susan, and her obviously untiring service to the community of Redlands, which has also earned her a Medal of the Order of Australia in the General Division for her contribution to the welfare of seniors and the arts in particular. And for those of you who have ever been involved with Seniors Week in the early 2000s, you will understand that her tireless effort made that one of the most successful events of its kind in the state. She was convener of our Senior Citizens Week, as I said, through the Redlands District Committee of the Ageing from 2000 to 2010, as well as a committee member for many years and a member for the Seniors Network Committee from 2008 to 2014. She has also served as a convener of the Bayside Seniors Lifestyle Expo from 2008 to 2014, president and committee member of the Redlands Arts Council, Red Arts, president of the Redlands Shire Band, and for 7 years was convener of the Lady Mayoress's Charity Ball. Susan was involved with Council's Oral History Archive and for many years has been a supporter of the Redlands Museum and a volunteer with Meals on Wheels in her spare time. Her accolades over the many years are including a Redlands City Council Cultural Award, also International Year of Volunteers Award and an Australia Day Cultural Award. So congratulations once again to our Queen's Birthday Honours recipients. These titles demonstrate the value of your very, very committed contribution to our community, which makes an incredible difference to the lives of so many others and to the organisations which benefit from your daily commitment. So on behalf of the Council and on behalf of our City of Redlands, we thank you for your service. Councillors, we're now up to item 5 on our agenda, which is the receipt and confirmation of minutes. If I may just ask for a mover and seconder that the minutes of the general meeting held on the 22nd of June be confirmed. Moved Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Are there any items of correctness, Councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Matters outstanding from minutes of the previous meeting, I'll ask the Chief Executive Officer to present.
Thank you, Mayor Karen Williams. Councillors, you'll note there's only one item, 6.1, which is a request for a report about a petition requesting pensioners' council rate subsidies are granted to the residents of leasehold retirement villages. That report has been presented to councillors in a draft format for some direction and will be presented in the next couple of weeks or month to the next general meeting that it can fit into. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. Our next item is public participation, and I have been advised of a couple of speakers, councillors, so I will ask for a mover and seconder that the meeting adjourn for a 15-minute public participation segment to allow members of the public to address councils on matters of public interest related to local government. Moved Councillor Hughes, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. I have been advised David Brewer of Birkdale would like to address us. So, David, if you'd like to make your way up to the microphone, but just as you do that, I'll just advise you of the protocols here in Chambers, if I may. You may have noticed some of the signage in Chambers regarding public participation at meetings, and it is our usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or the organisation which they represent and the subject they may wish to speak about. The information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document and available for inspection at Council's Administration Building, and it's published on Council's website. I also advise that the meeting is being recorded in audio-video and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording video may be placed in the public domain. Just for those who will address Council this morning, anyone who does address Council must state their name and suburb or organisation they represent and subject they wish to speak about. Stand unless you're unable to do so. Act and speak with decorum. Be respectful and courteous. Make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. And as chairperson, just advise you it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government. Give priority to members of the public who have made written application to the CEO to address the meeting. And it's also my responsibility to determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak in the subject matter. It is also my responsibility to withdraw the approval to address council before the time period has elapsed. Just a quick reminder that debate or discussion cannot be entered into. And for those of you who may need a hearing loop, just if you do, please stay in your seat and we'll bring the microphone to you. All right, Mr. Brewer, over to you. Please start with your name, address, or organisation you represent, and you can begin when you're ready. Thank you, Mr. Brewer. I've also been advised there are some people who haven't applied in writing to address council. Could I just check in the public gallery? Kay, would you like to come forward then? Thank you. I think you know the drill, Kay. Thank you, Mrs. Murphy. Are there any other people wishing to address council? All right, councillors. Well, then, there being none, I'll ask that we resume meeting proceedings. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Petitions and presentations. I haven't been advised of any petitions, councillors, but I believe we have a presentation on behalf of three councillors that attended the ALGA conference. Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor. On behalf of Councillor Division 2, P Peter Mitchell, Councillor, Division 3, Paul Gallet. We'd like to present a report to you. Recently, in the 19th to 22nd of June, we had the privilege of representing our city and our council at the National General Assembly of Local Government that was held at the National Convention Centre in Canberra. This year's conference theme was Partners in an Innovative and Prosperous Australia, which I believe is relevant today and will continue to be of relevance for all of us as we go forward in every level of government. The conference program focused on debating and discussing the role that local government plays in boosting productivity and showcasing innovation. We've prepared a small report, we haven't gone into length over the 3 days, just our bullet points, and our Councillor Gallet will present that report to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Hughes. Through you, Madam Chair, to the councillors and council officers present and members of the public gallery. The National General Assembly allowed Redland City Council to select three delegates, including the mayor as well, so four delegates essentially, to attend a national conference in Canberra. Here there were some 80 motions debated and moved at this conference. Those particular motions were in relation to development, green energy, believe it or not, equal equality through marriage, various subjects that are quite high on the agenda and most often seen in the media. We had the opportunity to interact in that procession of proceedings, if you will. It was quite a learned experience, and I must say, on behalf of the three councillors that attended, we're incredibly grateful that we were chosen by the council to act as delegates. The mayor presented us with that opportunity, and so we're incredibly grateful to you for expressing that suggestion to go. Overall, it gave us the opportunity to bring back a lot of ideas from an economic standpoint, an environmental standpoint, development, etc., where we can now express those ideas and solutions, if you will, here to Redland City Council. Some of those ideas are already being presented here through our Economic Development Board and other meetings and workshops that we've had. Overall, the conference was an awakening to us as three new councillors. It gave us the experience and opportunity to see what other councils are doing and to meet, in some circumstances, members of local government who had been in, you know, those positions for 35 years as individual councillors. It gave us the experience to meet and greet with senior federal ministers and to present different ideas and concepts that affect the Redlands. So overall, the conference was fantastic, and I think it's something we should keep attending and take the initiative to bring motions to the table at that conference, where basically a lot of delegates, 700 delegates in fact, can actually interact in some of the solutions, and as they say, it takes a village to raise one child, and we were like the child down there receiving a lot of information. So it was a fantastic event. We gained a lot of experience, and we'll present our written report to all the councillors and council officers at the close of business today. And that's pretty much it. Thank you.
Councillor Mitchell, are you winding up? Or right. Councillor Hughes?
Following on from what Councillor Gallet has just described to you, I would just like to convey a very small story that 700 delegates met a gentleman and struck up a conversation. Unbeknownst to me, he was a fellow CEO from a regional council in Queensland, and our in-depth conversation was on green seal roads. And he asked me about, what is that? His biggest problem was his roads, etc., etc. I was able to share with him via Councillor Edwards, who'd taken us out to the islands, on the benefits of the Green Seal Road. And believe it or not, when we got back to council, my first email in my inbox was from the CEO, and he has asked us to follow up with him, and we have done so. That connection was amazing. It was great. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors, and I'm glad you enjoyed that experience and understand the different legislation across states that delivers different types of councils. So, all right, moving on, order of business. I don't believe there's any motion to change that. Item 10 is your material personal of interest and conflict of interest, councillors. Once again, I remind you, under the Local Government Act 2009, in relation to a councillor's material personal interest or conflict of interest, there's a summary of all of that in the back of your agenda. Onto the business of council, item 11, I'm going to ask Councillor Bulgari if she wouldn't mind presenting those reports, 11.1.
Yes, I'd just like to move 11.1.1, Revenue Policy 2016 to 2017.
Move Councillor Bulgari. Seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bulgari?
Yes, I had the officers write me a paragraph just to explain it to everyone. Council annually reviews its revenue policy during its budget deliberation process. It also confirms its policy position during the financial strategy annual review, so it regularly considered by Council. The attached document has no policy position shift. It continues with the principles as previously adopted and provides officers with the direction to propose revenue streams for Council's consideration. The revenue policy as attached was the framework for the revenue line items of Council's 16-17 budget development process and shaped decisions on fees, charges, general rates and expected returns to Council from commercial activities and other sources.
Thank you, Councillor Bulgari. Any speakers against? Any comments, questions? With that, I did get a seconder. Yes, Councillor. So with that, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Bulgari, our debt policy?
Yes, I'd like to move item 11.1.2, the debt policy.
Move Councillor Bulgari. Seconded Councillor Hughes.
Yes, once again I asked our new CFO, Deb, here to my right, to write a paragraph to explain it. I'll give you the credit, Deb. The attached debt policy provides the well, she did do all the work, so yeah, she should get the credit. Provides the framework for Council's Treasury team to proactively manage the community debt on the balance sheet. In recent years, Council has prepaid its debt annually, and this is now locked in with the QTC for the life of existing loans. The debt schedule outlines no new forecast borrowings in 16-17, and Council has committed to use cash and reserve balances before drawing down more debt. There is no significant change to Council's debt policy from previous years. It is building on the solid platform already established, and the policy was reviewed during the budget development process and will be reviewed again during Council's annual review of its long-term financial strategy.
Thank you, Councillor Bulgari. Any speakers against? Comment, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you. I also would like to personally thank Deb, not the debt, Deb, for her work. When we are new councillors, the learning curve is obviously enormous. The explanation, the long-term vision that council has with their debt policy has been really well explained and well done. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Councillor Hughes. Any other comments, councillors? There being none, did you want to sum up, Councillor Bulgari? Okay, I'll put the motion in. Those in favour? Those against? A motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Item 11.2. Councillor Bishop, would you mind presenting these reports?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to bring councillors' attention to 11.2.1, which is decisions made under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 developments. So I can just put that. I'll move that motion if I may.
Move Councillor Bishop. Seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bishop?
Not in any specific detail, but I'd just like to acknowledge Mr. Brewer's mention earlier on, just generally regarding the role of planning and the importance that councillors place on this. These are delegated authority decisions. We are looking through the planning scheme as we speak, and there are certain things that we can do, certain things that we are limited by, but just want to acknowledge that and you being in the room. These are the delegated decisions, which is a separate issue, but it's something that is definitely up in councillors' minds. So that's all I wanted to suggest, and thank you very much.
Any other speakers against or otherwise? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2.2, Councillor Bishop.
Thanks again. 11.2.2 is the appeals list, and I'd just like to move the motion proposed by the officers.
Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bishop? Questions, comments, councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Item 11.3, I'll ask Councillor Tolte if she'd like to present those items.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move the officer's recommendation for item 11.3.1, SCQ water bulk water contractual payments, delegation to Chief Executive Officer.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is a report that recommends that under S257 of the Local Government Act, Council delegate to the Chief Executive Officer the authority to approve recurrent monthly payments to the Bulk Water Supply Authority, SEQ Water, and for Redland City Council's bulk water purchases. So it's housekeeping, and it's a requirement that we purchase our water through the Bulk Water Authority, and this is allowing the mechanism to do that.
Any speakers against? Comment, Councillor Elliott?
Mayor. Just highlight to the community too that recent invoices show expected monthly charges in the order of about $3 million, so a fair bit of money we shell out every month sort of thing, just for water.
Just a nice reminder for those councils who have been around a long time, the cost of buying water from the state that we have to pass on to our residents. We don't do it because we like to, but it's because we have to. But yeah, obviously it's a big expense and in our budget. When I was elected, that's exactly right, it was 69 cents a kilolitre. Now it's something like $3. Alrighty. So
just a tiny point on that. We did have a discussion yesterday whether it was 317 or 315. Does anyone have a specific number as to what bulk water is, the cost is at the moment?
Thank you, Councillor. Through the Chair, Madam Mayor, for 15-16, the state adopted a charge of 2.162. So $2.162. So
thank
that's
you.
For 15-16.
It was just a little figure that was just year. Sticking in my mind. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
Published on the Jews website, so I can give you the figure for July onwards for 16-17. It's 2.361. So
see,
it's
isn't
it's
she great?
It's not secret squirrel for the budget. That
I think it was going to land. It was going to land on $3
it's
by the end of the process.
2.5, councillor, for next year.
Yeah, we have extended that time frame now because QCA took on board our price pathing. So, alrighty, enough discussion on that. It was kind of off topic. Sorry, councillors. I'll go back to Councillor Tolte. Would you like to sum up, Councillor Tolte?
Oh, no, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, there being no further discussion, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Councillor Tolte, I believe you have an amended motion for 11.3.2.
Yes, if we could put that up on the screen, I'd like to move the amended motion as seen on the screen for item 11.3.2, cycling and walking links in rural Redlands.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Hughes. Councillor Tolte, would you like to speak to this?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report comes out of an earlier motion that I moved at the beginning of the year asking for some consideration of walkability and pedestrian links in the rural areas of our city. Pardon me. As the Councillor for Division 6, I have the large areas of Southern Redland and Sheldon and Mount Cotton and parts of Thornlands in my division. And in those areas, I have a lot of residents who live in relatively close proximity from a rural perspective on perhaps 1.5 or 2 or 3 acre blocks, but have absolutely no pedestrian connectivity within their communities to make their neighbourhoods walkable. They obviously understand that they live in a rural area, and their expectation isn't that we would have concrete footpaths like you might find in the centre of Cleveland, I don't believe, but they would like some ability to be able to walk their babies in prams and get out and exercise and enjoy their community with their neighbours. So what this report now does is asks that officers go and do some work on how we might be able to provide that in a reasonable and measured manner within the budget constraints and within the pressures of priorities across the city. So I would hope the councillors would support the members of our rural community to be able to have those linkages at least considered and assessed and brought forward perhaps one day for budget consideration.
Speakers against? Comment? Oh, speaker against, Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I guess my big question is, and look, I'm just going to digress for a minute, I don't think we should be bringing motions forward for infrastructure. I think that's a discussion at an officer's level and with councillors and councillor mayor meetings.
Madam Mayor, this is not infrastructure. This is asking for a
report. Councillor, you'll be able to respond when... Point of order. You'll be able to respond to when you sum up Councillor Tolte. Thank you.
What I want to know is where's the money coming from? Like, councils across Australia are struggling to do their renewals, and we're talking about going out, like, in the short to medium term and start looking at putting footpaths in areas outside the urban footprint. Many of them are going to be developed by developers at some stage who provide that footpath anyway. This is outside the footprint. The people in those acreages understand the facilities they have. The priority is more in the high-density urban areas. We're struggling to provide infrastructure in areas where Julie's talking about acre and a half lots. I've got lots...
Councillor Tolte, thank you.
Councillor Tolte, sorry. We have lots as small as 122 square metres in southeast Thorns, and we're struggling to upgrade local roads, cycleways, footpaths in those areas. So we're talking about creating all these new assets. We should be focusing on our renewals, which is hard to keep up with as it is. We're having parks that are shortfalling in infrastructure, and yet we're talking about putting these pathways out in rural areas. The economy of scales is absolutely way out of the ballpark. I mean, you have one or two people walking along there in a day, possibly. And yet you've got hundreds and thousands of people walking along the footpaths in urban areas. We've just got to get a priority, so I can't support this. I just think if you're going to get to the point where you can do this, then you should start looking at cutting rates and giving money back to the people rather than investing in an infrastructure that no one's going to use.
Speaker 4. Councillor Mitchell.
Yes, through you, Madam Mayor. I absolutely understand where the councillor is coming from. We had a very good and robust discussion that was triggered by this motion, but I thought across the councils there was general unity on the importance of improving the cycling and walking connectivity around our whole city, appropriately prioritised, and as part of an integrated transport network. I think it sits across a number of areas in our corporate plan: strong connected communities, green living, economic development, quite apart from some of the health and well-being of our residents. So appropriately prioritised and across our city, I think this is part of the thinking outside of the box and looking to our future that we need to be looking at. Thank you.
Speaker against? Okay, well, I've got a few. Speaker against, Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to acknowledge from Councillor Tolte's perspective the need to bring this forward as something of a matter of concern for her residents, and fully support and understand that any resident in Redland City who's not in a situation where getting around with their community is an easy thing, we would want to support that. I do think, though, that we do need to draw a distinction between the urban area and our rural areas and have some understanding from a whole city perspective about where those priorities are. I don't have a concern at all with the certain elements of this recommendation, and in fact I would support this with the exclusion of dot point 3, which is that officers from City Infrastructure prepare a business case for the project and seek council funding from a future budget to undertake the audit and program of works. It's this part, the program of works, that is of concern to me, because it feels as like this is a holus bolus program, project and undertaking, which I'd like to reflect the views of Councillor Hewlett a moment ago, is taking us into a direction that is rather unexpected. We've just come from a back to basics footing, and if we are going to go somewhere new, I would like us to think of that as an integrated, and if I can just quote the words ringing in my ears from community member Kay Murphy, whose presence here is always welcome and her attention to detail is important, but careful and management and planning. I think it's a really important time for us as councillors to carefully manage and plan our consideration of where our focus is going to go. The discussion yesterday led us to the view that officers need all of this to happen for the program of works. I have concerns about that, because I would think that by us agreeing to dot point 3, which was dot point 4, that we're actually going to be at a later point saying no to a whole body of works And that would be a waste of officers' time in my perspective. I would rather us look at an integrated approach to say which are the roads of priority. There's certainly some on Stradbroke which have been raised and I think councillors have general support for, but I would rather see a ranked system brought back to us with some clarity about what might be necessary, and not for it to be a whole complete project and program of works that we either say yes or no to. It's the iterative process that we need to be carefully managing and planning, and so on that basis, with dot point three in there, I will not be supporting this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Might just get the officer, Gary, if you wouldn't mind, to respond to the program of works as it was explained to councillors yesterday and why that is necessary.
Through you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. As I did discuss and explain yesterday, the proposal we're putting forward now is certainly not to go forward and do any works. This is just as requested through the original notice of motion to investigate to see what is possible and where it is possible. I have no doubt that we will come back to council with some roads that will say it is not economically feasible or possible to put walking tracks, cycleways or anything on these rural roads from there. So this is purely addressing the notice of motion that was put forward to provide some further information to the council on whether you would incorporate it into a future program.
No, Councillor, no, you've had your opportunity, sorry. I'm going now to Speaker 4. Speaker 4, Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Mayor.
If you want to make a comment, that's fine. I'm just having formal debate. So we have formal debate here. They are the standing orders, and I am taking speakers for and against, and I do allow comments. I don't have to, but I do. So I appreciate that you want to make a comment. Speaker 4.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I understand totally Councillor Hewlett's comments about infrastructure in the more populated areas, and you know, I'd hate to see gold plating done in rural areas, and that's certainly not what this is intended for. And in regards to Councillor Bishop's comments, dot point three is the main one that I'm interested in. I want to see a business case. I want to see what roads are not viable. I want to see the costs of different alternatives. I want to see, you know, maybe the business case might come back that we don't do anything until the roads are renewed, and you know, and we can add an additional lane at 5% additional cost. Who knows? We don't know these things, and I'd rather be informed by a business case to make decisions on rather than just a gut feeling. So I'll be supporting it.
Any speakers against? You're going to speak against it, Councillor. It was a comment before, that's all. Speaking against, Councillor.
I've got the same concerns as Councillor Hewlett. We have whole of city strategies. We've got enhancing the visitor experience. We've got open space strategies. We've got pathway and cycleway documents. I would like that to have been discussed as to what rural requirements and roads are actually in these before we start going ahead and using more resources and perhaps financial implications there on us. We have got gaps in the urban areas around schools. I've got one in my area which has got three schools near it and a train station, and I still haven't got a pathway link there. So like Councillor Hewlett said, hundreds of people use these footpaths. I don't want resources actually taken from where these high density areas are to the rural, but I do understand Councillor Tolte's need to represent her division, of course, but I would like to have had a chance to workshop what is already in our policies. So through the chair to the officer, the fourth point, which was incorporated into this motion after we spoke yesterday, the incorporation of placements of footpaths and cycleways on rural roads, isn't there any rural roads or anything in that policy at the moment? Haven't we ever prioritised anything down there? No work's ever been done?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Our current prioritised model for placement of footpaths would preclude any rural road currently of ever getting on a program and funding, because it does look at population densities, close proximity to schools, those types of things are our current criteria for prioritising. Those are a couple of them. And in a lot of these cases here, obviously population densities, there are no schools in these areas down there. So when they would be ranked, they would be so far down the list that it would be a long time before funding would be forthcoming.
So if they were then to come into this policy, how would that then be ranked, a rural road against a road, say, in Wellington Point near a school then? How would we do it?
Council would have to decide on that policy, and the guidelines would need to reflect that. So it would be a council decision as to how that would happen.
Yeah, and that's probably my concern then.
So we would be able to just debate that.
If we can't get the roads the footpaths in these high density areas are needed now.
Well, your policy would dictate that, councillors. Your policy, our policy would dictate that. So there's an opportunity to understand what, I'll defer to the officers, understand what that program could look like in rurals, and then you could set those criteria to make sure that if it's about number of people that use the footpaths or et cetera. Councillor, you've had your chance, sorry. So that is exactly what we're trying to bring back so council can make those decisions.
So how much, my concern here, I mean, that is a concern to me then, that a rural road could get a priority there, but if it's coming back to council, number three I actually agree needs to stay in there, because that actually says it's going to be coming back to council. But it's number one and two, the amount of resources that are going to be put into there, and I'm concerned that sometimes then once that amount of work goes, it gets into a capital works program, and it's a line item that gets automatic funding.
I'll have
can we be assured that
I'll have the officer respond to those concerns.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Look, we certainly don't see a large body of work being done by officers in items one and two. We prepare business cases all the time on various capital works proposals. From the actual program as such, if council was to approve it, it does come back to council through your capital programming workshops and also through budget considerations, which you will have tomorrow. And you can choose to approve or not approve a program or amend it accordingly. Our financial strategy gives you the overall requirements of what's affordable from a capital program. How council basically slices and dices that is for you to decide.
I am going to support this today, but I am reluctant because I'm concerned about the lack of we've got such limited resources in that at the moment, and I definitely don't want funding taken away from those much higher density footpaths areas that are needed. But I also want to have a whole of city approach to this. If I can just be reassured. Exactly what the officer just said.
I think that was your reassurance, councillor.
Yeah, okay, that this will all come back. There'll be limited work done, and it will come back to council before it proceeds any further.
I think
for a whole city approach.
The statement, councillor, just to be clear, was that it won't take a great deal of work to do that. They do business cases all the time, rather than saying it was limited. I mean, they need to do the work to make sure it's complete, and that isn't going to take a lot of resources, according to Gary.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Elliott and then Councillor Golay.
Don't forget him. Please don't forget him. I'm supporting this, but I agree with the arguments of the against. I'll be honest with you. I knew this would be divisive, and the community can see how divisive it is. I don't like seeing the names of streets, and I think Kay Murphy was the litmus test. I've seen it in my backyard. There's people, a couple of streets I know live in that won't want it. And I think this would have been better, Paul. And we could have workshopped it and come up with the thing. And I think the agreement was adjustment. We have a rural thing. I don't have a problem with that. But once you put the streets up there, you raise expectations, and you also really rile the community too that don't want it. And I think this is a lesson in not how to do it. And I'll support it, but certainly That is the issue. Raising expectations and causing angst to the community before we really need to, and you can see it's dividing council on a simple issue of a footpath, and it's about resources and expectations and things like that. I hopefully won't see this again.
Councillor Gollay.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Through you. Gary, what's a slashing program on rural roads, on the sides of the roads? It seems to be that this is an issue about a clear way as sorts along rural roads where people can walk safely without falling into holes and things like that. That seems to be the...
Councillor Gollay, I think that's probably part of the next discussion that we have on this. So right. What we're talking about here is looking at how we incorporate or looking what a program might look like. Yep. And some of those programs, you know, might suggest just slashing a footpath.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably hard for the officer to answer what that's, you know, what the potentials are for those various areas if they in fact.
Because I don't know if I'm allowed to request clarification from a member of the gallery, but Mrs. Murphy raised something that jumped onto me, which was the roads need upgrading over footpaths. So what's the preferred consult here? Is it the widening of the road and upgrading the road, as Councillor Mitchell suggested yesterday, which would incorporate that cycleway, or do we actually have to do a scope of works?
Councillor Guy, that's the next step.
Like, what does the community want?
That's the next step, and as you'll be aware, we also talked about consultation. So this is really just a broad opportunity to look at the whole city and the walkability and the cycling ability across the city and how we can potentially prioritise that. So that's getting down to the detail. There'll be further debate on that, and I might just get the CEO to comment.
Councillors, just wanted to point out, I know I did this yesterday, this is actually a report in response to a motion that was passed by the council, albeit the previous council. So we're obligated under that to respond. This would have been normally considered through a process, but as we've heard in the debate, rural roads tend to be down the lower end of the priority, so all this is doing is raising that. We are doing it in request, which is the right of councillors to raise the concerns around that if it gets the thing. So again, I think to understand that we as officers have responded to that notice of motion, it's now up to you to make those decisions around there, how far we go with those, because in any aspect, I think as all of you have said in the city, $72 million is a small part of a large program. If we all had what the community wanted, what each one of you wanted, and got our assets to an extremely reliable position, both in roads and water and all those, we'd be spending a lot more, residents would be spending a lot more, or we'd be growing debt. So prioritisation is always an issue in every organisation, every council, I think every year, and you'll have that debate tomorrow. So again, I think just on some of those from an officer's point of view, this will give us through the business case and lines up with where we're heading with the PMO, and some of those things is to actually get better information to you to make those decisions on an informed basis. At the moment, you know, we can all have our views, myself included, on what a road will cost and won't cost. This project for a small investment will give you that, and again, I'll give you the assurance again on record that this will be presented through the normal budgeting process, and as you'll see tomorrow in our budget, there are a range of projects which we all would like funded, but because of the constraints that we set, tend to be in the outer years.
Councillor Gollay.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Yeah, just in closing, I just need that clarification, I suppose, from the community. Do they want their rural roads upgraded with a widening process as discussed, or do they want footpaths? Because I think that will determine the outcome of this actual proposed policy at the moment. And from what I could have heard incorrectly, it sounds to me like the upgrading of Spring Acre Road was more of a priority, and any intersections that caused accidents was a priority over creating footpaths for prams, so to speak.
And so what the officers will do, correct me if I'm wrong, is that they'll have a look and do an audit. They'll work out what types of treatments might work best. There'll be consultation, there'll be discussion with council before, you know, any of those sorts of things are decided. I apologise, Councillor Edwards, I wasn't sure if you were a comment or a but if you'd like to make a comment.
No, I'm just a comment, rather quick one too. I'd just like to change the language a little bit, where I don't see these residents as Councillor Tolte's residents. They are, but they're equally my residents, and they're the residents of all of us. And I see the residents, no matter where they live in the city, they're just as important to me as the divisional councillor. And as such, I see this as building our knowledge bank, on what may or may not be able to be achieved. I don't look at that and see there's an automatic stamp that something's going to be done, but what's going to come back is going to build my knowledge and everyone else sitting around this table, our knowledge of what can and can't be delivered, and from that we'll decide where the importance of that sits. I do agree with Councillor Elliott. He might be surprised about that, but I don't think that a list of roads being provided at this point in time was helpful, particularly when that body of work is yet to be done. So there's probably a lesson to be learnt in that. But I'm supporting to build my knowledge of what can and can't be delivered to help our residents.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. And I just to reflect, I don't think that list has been put together by officers which landed in the report. I think they're taking on board what's been said. If I could just also add my comments. We really do have one city, and we have a very diverse city, and some of its greatest attributes is that diversity. Our rural areas are more increasingly becoming an attraction for tourism, and we've got places like Surime, which was mentioned by Mrs Murphy in her address to council. For the council has just come back from ALGA, from the National Convention, there would have been a lot of discussion about the impact of cars and our car-centric world. In fact, the future of cars. I think you were faced with a presentation by BMW and their little electric car or whatever. Our technology is changing and innovation is changing. More and more people come to this city for recreation and for sport, and we heard about that yesterday, councillors, about the opportunities and the economic value of that. And more and more people are becoming focused on fitness. So whatever we can do in any part of our city to encourage that type of tourism, that type of health and well-being, we should be doing. And so, hence, there are opportunities to be innovative and use that knowledge bank that Councillor Edwards just talked about to see how we can help change and encourage different habits that get people out of their cars, onto their bikes. Peter Mitchell, Councillor Mitchell, is a great advocate for that and has experienced what happens when you don't have adequate roads or if you're not a very good bike rider, if I believe. our city is increasingly becoming a tourism opportunity for bike riders, and we've just seen that cycle event we had, and we have great roads, and we want to make sure that not only our people who are going to be driving in cars feel comfortable with bikes on the road, etc., that we can get people and bikes in a place across our rural areas. And let me tell you, they ride in our rural areas quite a lot because it is so special. So let's help get people out of their cars by looking at these things differently. In the discussion for those in the public gallery yesterday, we weren't talking about the typical 1.5 metre concrete footpath going along Avalon Road by any means. There was discussion about some of the renewals of roads in our rural areas, and Woodlands Drive came up, and the opportunity for that to have a greater verge that would allow bike riding or walkability. So there are opportunities to look at our renewal programs, as was stated, by increasing a spend by a very small amount to achieve those outcomes. So I think what we need is the officers to identify all those sorts of things and be innovative, look at the big picture of tourism, and get that information so we can make those decisions. And you might make those decisions based on the livability in your own local community or the fact that we're trying to encourage tourism and jobs in our city when we get that information. So the business case will help us do that. The project management office is in place to make sure that it stacks up financially and from a delivery perspective. And so the amendments that we've made yesterday when in discussion with councillors give us all an opportunity to have an informed opinion by the time all of this is done and look at in the big picture of the city. So I think everyone's concerns have pretty much been addressed through that motion, and I congratulate Councillor Tolte for taking on board the amendments and the ideas of other councillors yesterday to put it forward and get it across the line. So with that, I'll hand back to Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I thank those councillors who are willing to support the officers going forward and doing this work. I'd like to just retouch a few points. The the comments made by Councillor Hewlett in regard to building footpaths in areas where developers will do the work and pay for it later, I'm talking about Sheldon. I don't know anybody who's expecting housing estates in Kiwi Street in the next 50 years, or Pioneer Street, or Henderson Road. So I really don't understand that comment, I'm sorry.
Councillor, through the chair, standing orders, please.
This motion asks for an assessment of streets. The effort of the officers in putting together a list of streets, which I think is more indicative than precise, is more about providing guidance for councillors on the level of work. If that list of streets, I think, wasn't there, then we would possibly be expecting an assessment of every rural street and road in the Redlands, and quite clearly that would be a body of work that would be too large. So I don't think the officers were intending to cause any issue for the community. I think they were trying to provide as much detail for councillors in the report as possible. Councillor Bishop mentioned that he doesn't want to see a business case. I don't understand how we could make a decision going forward without a business case, as Councillor Gleeson said. We need to understand, and I'm only asking for this to be brought into the consideration of future budgets and future capital works programs, and the amount of work, the level of infrastructure, is a part of what's going to be provided in the next report. So whether that walkability can be improved with an extended shoulder on the road, which also allows cyclists, or by simply running a bobcat over rough ground and providing some regular slashing, that will come back in this report. So we don't know yet what level of infrastructure we're talking about. And when Councillor Boglari mentions whole of city approaches, I'm hopeful that we will approve this, because what this will do is provide us a whole of city approach, because at the moment we don't have a whole of city approach. We have an approach that completely excludes one third of the area of the city geographically and 10% of our population. And they would like to be in the room when we make those discussions too. So this way they come. Thank you. And this way, we get the information, we bring it into the deliberations, and if the council decides that it's not a priority, then that's fair enough. But at the moment, it isn't even in the discussion. It isn't even in the consideration, and that's what we're asking for. I'm asking for those residents in the rural areas to at least be a consideration. So I thank you very much for your support, and I do support a whole of city approach. I'm not asking for these things to be prioritised or funded or, prioritised over and above footpaths in highly urbanised areas that are 1.5 metres wide and concrete. I'm just asking that we consider the information and allow it to be brought forward so that we've got all of the information. So thank you for your support.
Thank you, councillors. With that, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? That's normal, councillor. So those in favour, we have Councillor Gleeson, Tolte, Hughes, Elliott, Edwards, Mitchell, Boglari, Williams. Those against, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Gollay. Councillors, there is no mayoral minute, nor have I been advised of any notices of motion. We do have a or urgent business. We do have a couple of items on closed session. Councillor Elliott, do you... Councillors, are you happy to deal with this in public session without any discussion? It has been discussed. Yes? Okay. Well, then, in which case, we'll go straight to item 16.2.1. Sorry, 1.1. My apologies. Councillor Elliott's moving the officer's recommendation. It's being seconded by Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 16.2.1, Councillor Elliott is moving the officer's recommendation. It's been seconded by Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Bishop? Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Golay, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Williams, those against, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Hewlett. Thank you, councillors. With that, the meeting is closed at 10:51. Thank you for your participation, and those who took time out of the day to sit in the public gallery and listen to interesting debate. Thank you. Councillor Elliott. It's just a question I always expect after general.